Anyway, we're glad you're here, and we're glad you joined us. Turn, if you will, to Genesis. Might as well start, you know, I believe in, if we're going to start preaching, you might as well start at the beginning and do all that we can and drive people crazy. And I want to start in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, hey, we're glad you're here. In Genesis chapter 1, look in your Bible at verse 26. In verse 26 it said, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over on and on. Okay? Well, we don't all look alike, but we do have the image of God made into us. And as God is God the Son, God the Spirit, and God the Father, those three, God the Holy Spirit, I'm going to put Holy Spirit, and God the Son, as God is that, we're a triunion being too. We have the flesh, the spirit, I'm going to put soul there, and then the spirit right there. That's how we look like God. We don't all look like God. I mean, obviously, I look over at Brenda or any of the women in here. They don't look like I do. And I look at the men, and even the men don't look like each other. And so people don't understand that a dog doesn't have a triunion being. An animal has a flesh and a spirit. That's it. That's an animal. All the other animals of the planet. So people who think they're mammals, you are not a mammal. That is an incorrect scientific falsehood that has been given to you by evolutionists that have no idea what God wrote. They wouldn't know what the image of God even looked like. Y'all understand? What makes you unique is you have a soul. And a dog does not. A dog isn't going to come into judgment when he dies. Dog just dies. You say, well, that seems unfair. Well, he doesn't have to come into judgment either. But man, on the other hand, it says it's appointed on the men once to die, and then the judgment. You will come into judgment for the things done on and on. And so make no mistake about it, that this isn't a joke to me. I joke around sometimes during the sermon, but there ain't nothing funny about the preaching of the Word of God. It's your eternal salvation. And people don't get the whole thing here. But go to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, read with me, if you will, in verse 3. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness. Now, what happened to man? Here's man right here. What happened to man when he ate of the tree? He had fallen. And that fallen man then begets sons in his own image. And so every man that is in Adam, and it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, green, orange, purple, any of that, it doesn't matter. Are you listening to me? It does not matter. You are in the image of Adam, and therefore death is come upon you. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and look with me. And so the whole battle between the fall of man and you is about redemption. That's all the book is about. People have no clue what's in this Bible. I would challenge you from last night, just a thought. You're probably not going to see the pearly gates in the streets of gold. Those people were beautiful singers, but their songs were biblically incorrect. So we listen to songs and we sing songs that we think are the way we think they are, but we have no proof to them. And I have no problem with great singing. I don't. I love great singing, whether it's Southern gospel, whether it's contemporary. I don't care as long as it honors the Lord. I was talking to a lady yesterday on the phone for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And she said, I like Southern gospel. Well, I like Southern gospel too. But why would we sing songs that are incorrect biblically just because we like them? Or go to a church that preaches the wrong doctrine incorrectly? That'd just be as crazy as all get, wouldn't it? Say, well, but I had a lady next door to me that lived on Amos Street. I finally moved off of Amos Street after three houses, lived on three houses on that same street. And it's a very short block. I darn near lived in every house on Amos Street. One of my neighbors came up and said, I went to this church because the choir robes were so pretty. Now, you listen to me. What we're going to go over the next 2 hours, you better get down, because you know what? You're going to come into answer to a righteous and holy God. Are you listening to me? And it isn't really a matter of my opinion or whatever. It's a matter of the book that's sitting in your lap. Okay? So let's try this. 1 Corinthians 15. We are made in the fallen man's image. You weren't made in the image of God. Your image of God has been tarnished by the disobedience of one. You got it? That's the whole problem. You're born into sin. I was hearing a story about a little kid reaching for a washing machine or something on a show last night. And said, we said, don't touch that washing machine. Don't touch the knobs on that thing. And that little 19-year-old boy just kept reaching for it. And one of the people were against paddling his hand. And spanking that little boy and saying, no, no. And the other one was for it. And it was kind of that liberal slant on all that stuff, you know. But what was fascinating is that 19-year-old boy couldn't help himself. People ask me all the time, why are people homosexual? I tell you why they're homosexual. They're born that way. They're born in sin. Some people are homosexuals. You know what other people are? Liars. You know what other people are? Adulterers. Worse than all that, I think, there are some people that are pedophiles. And you know why they are? Because they were born into Adam. And sin just blossoms out of us like you can't believe it. It's an amazing thing if you really think about sin and what it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 and look at this verse. For as in Adam all die. You see that? You don't have a choice, boys and girls. And if you've been watching the thing, and the reason I'm bringing this thing up about death is I have an 86-year-old lady in my house that hadn't eaten or drank anything in 3 days. And you know what? She's dying. And you know what's strange about that? I had a 9-year-old boy about 10 years ago, almost to the day, die again. I mean, die as a 9-year-old boy. Say, well, man, you got to get old to die. That's not true. That's not true. That's a falsehood of man. That's not true. People die all the time young. And so people wonder what's going on. Well, God, in Genesis chapter, this is Genesis chapter 1. This is from Genesis chapter 5 on. You got it? That's what's happening. And all the way to Genesis chapter 11. From Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 11 is 2,000 years of history. Did you know that? Most people have not a clue about that. And the problem is Adam. Adam's the problem. We were born into sin. We start sinning immediately. Go to Romans chapter 5, and then we're going to turn back to Genesis. Watch this. Man, if you don't rightly divide this Bible, you're going to get confused. It's the most amazing thing I've seen. People are so ignorant of the Bible nowadays. It is absolutely insane. And here's the thing. You know, they say ignorant is... That's a lie of the devil. Ignorance will cost you eternity. You know what you want to be? This is what I highly write. Write this down. You want to be a biblical know-it-all. Sounds arrogant, doesn't it? Listen, let me tell you what. If you know anything well, if you know about farming, if you know about music, or you know about anything, the thing you ought to know the best is the Word of God. That's what you ought to know. In Romans chapter 5, look in verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Who was that man? Adam. "And death by sin," and notice it isn't sins. It's sin. There's a difference between sins and sin. You got it? There's a difference between those two. Sin is what this man became. And guess what? Everyone born after him were born into... Everyone, still a triune being, but now sin has entered the picture. And thus the fallen state of human beings. That's the way it is. Say, "Well, I don't like that." I would take that up with God. I can't change that. That's the way it is. The Bible says it's really clear in a lot of places. You ought to write these down if you got a piece of paper. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Write them down. You are not that smart. I understand some of you guys might have PhDs. You're brilliant, but write it down. Write it on the internet. Ready? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. It says, "There is not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Got it? In Romans chapter 3, verse 12. "There's none good, no, not one." In Romans 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Man is in trouble. Because sin entered into the world. Look in Romans chapter 6. Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." You got it? The wages of sin, not the wages of sins. Wayne, let me ask you a question. You ever seen a baby die? Anybody here seen an infant die?
Amen.
I mean, not see him literally die, but go to the funeral, whatever. I mean, I'm not going like, "Woo, he just dissolves right in front of you." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about have somebody has a 6-month-old baby, a 2-month-old baby, a 3-month-old baby that died. You know what that baby died? Sin. The wages of sin is death. People say, "I don't understand why that baby died. It didn't smoke, drink, play cards." It isn't your sins that send you to hell. It's the sin that you are that sends you to hell. People say, "Well, I'm going to come down." I've seen this in church after church after church. People tell me not to talk about churches. Hey, come on, guys. You got to be kidding me. They get you coming down the aisle and confessing your sins. As if that's going to make you right before a holy and righteous God. It isn't your sins that is the problem. It's what you are in Adam. That's the problem. You got it? It isn't your sins. It isn't your cussing, smoking, looking at pornography when no one's looking. That ain't your problem. The problem is what you are in Adam. And it rocks along. Go back to Genesis and look what happens here in Genesis. Genesis 5, men start making men after their own image. Guess what? They're all fallen man. And look what God sees. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. You see that in verse 5? You ought to underline that, score it, highlight it in your Bible. God saw the wickedness of man was great. In Genesis chapter 5, he's making men after his own image. And what happens? They leave off into idolatry. You know why? Sin. I bet you there were some homosexuals back there. How much you want to bet? Hey, how many of y'all want to bet there were a few liars? How many in here has ever told a lie?
Amen.
Come on. Oh, there's some of you guys going like this. One went like this. Why'd you lie? No, I mean, why'd you lie? I mean, isn't that amazing? You just, right, that lie came right out your tongue and you go, amen?
Amen.
It's kind of weird. Say, well, I'm going to quit lying. Well, tell the IRS that. I've never seen more liars around the IRS than you get a person in front of the IRS and all of a sudden their tax return comes in question. And you know, most people lie. Amen. They're trying to stretch it out to the nth degree. Amen. You ever really totally honest? Huh? Anybody really, I hope the IRS is watching. Come in and audit these people. I bet we'd find some liars among you. How much you want to bet? I bet there's a few of you that have the disease of sin called, I'm going to speed no matter what the law says. Amen? Oh, you're righteous every other way. People see you in your suits and your pearly teeth and if you can't afford pearly teeth, I can tell you where you can get some of those. But you know, they get all cleaned up and stuff, and buddy, they'll just speed going to... I saw somebody speeding trying to get to church, if you can believe that. I realized then it was the preacher next door and he was late. We're all liars, amen? You know, the Bible said, let God be true and every man a... liar. I bet you at this time there was a few liars in the pool, don't you think? Of course, they didn't even have the IRS at that point. Verse 5 again. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was occasionally evil. It didn't say that? I'm sorry, I read that wrong. The imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know what? That is probably true today. Amen? It's amazing to me how people think they've conquered this. So anyway, the Bible goes on, and they start to do some things that God sees a little bit. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Now, we have now spanned 2,000 years of human history, and what we've seen in this period of time is a lot of bad stuff. Amen? I mean, we got Noah and his Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And it's apparent that Noah gets drunk. And Ham sees the nakedness of his father. Now, what do you think that is? Huh? He saw the nakedness of his wife. He probably slept with his mother. According to Leviticus 18, verse 8, if you believe your Bible, I would write that down. You're not that smart. You're not going to remember it. Leviticus 18, verse 8. I'd love for you to be that brilliant. You guys are going to have to take notes. Joe Glenn, you're going to have to get a notepad. You will be embarrassed at heaven. You got to have your notes. Say, I've got that on page 31 of my notebook. You want to write it down. You want to get it down, guys. You want to score your Bible. You want to highlight it. You want to do whatever it takes. Because listen, let me tell you what. There's a final exam coming. And I'm not the one giving it. And I don't think he has white hair. Leviticus 18, verse 8. Thank you, Jim, for writing it down. You'll remember it. You'll be brilliant. The nakedness of the father of Noah was his wife. You look at it. Leviticus 18, 8. I don't have to look it up. You're smart enough to look it up. Well, now we're in Genesis chapter 11. And the whole earth, verse 1, was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks, and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone, and slime for they had for mortar, and on and on. And they go to build a city in a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. You see that in verse 4? You know what they were going to do? They wanted to take over heaven. Under the leadership of the guy who says, I will exalt my throne. You got it? And you might want that in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 12. Huh? 28 verse what? Huh? Isaiah 14 verse 28, I think. You're right. Yeah, 12 through 28. Something like, get that. Did I give you that reference? Oh, that's good. Y'all got it? Now watch this. Isaiah 14. I've got it, Mark. I could go show you, but watch this. This is the part that I want. Verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, what was their imagination like in chapter 6? Evil. Continually. Guess what their imagination here is? Evil. And so God sets up a plan, and that's where rightly dividing starts. From Genesis chapter 1 to 11, we're there. In chapter 12, something happens. And go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee. So God, at that point, divided the world into pieces. And he separated Abram from all the other three races, the Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which are all what? Say it louder. Gentiles, that's right. The Shemites are Gentiles, the Japhethites are Gentiles, and the Hamites. The only people that are not Gentiles are Abraham. And amongst these Gentiles, there are beers and seers. The beers bless Abraham, and the seers curse Abraham. And the blessings of God fall through Abraham to the beers, and the curse of God falls on the seers. You got it? Let's try verse 3. Yeah. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We got everybody covered in those ABCs. The A's are Abraham's seed. B are who? Bless, and it doesn't matter whether Shem, Ham, or Japheth, does it? The cursers are also out of the nations. They're Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so we go in history, and you know what's fascinating to me is 99.9% of all churches out there, don't talk about other churches. I'm not. But 99% of them think they're Jews somehow. Now, I'm telling you, most of them think they're the priesthood of God. Won't that be a rude awakening when that ain't true? Get up there, think you're a priest of God. What a rip. Amen? That's going to be a rip. People are going to wake up and go, hey, somebody didn't tell me the truth. Well, brother, I guarantee you, if you'll check out this Bible the way I'm preaching it to you, it'll check out 100%. Not because I'm such a fabulous preacher, although that is true. It's because the book is 100% fabulous. So in Genesis chapter 3, go if you will, to Exodus. And go to Exodus 19. A promise and inheritance to Israel. Go to Exodus 19. In Exodus 19, look, if you will, in verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Guess who that is? Israel. He's raised up Israel above all the people of the earth. Their promise, their hope, their inheritance. That's the way it is. Say, well, I don't like it. Again, I got one you can take it up with. Isn't that fascinating?
Amen.
That's fascinating, I think. And all the way through the Bible, there's not a Gentile that can get to God, and there's not a Gentile that can offer up blood sacrifices. From Abraham being separated, everything that, the only way you could get to God was blessed Jew. That's it. If you wanted a blessing, and you know what's fascinating? I've gone to churches after churches after churches. People don't think I go. You know what I hear? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 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 How many have been to churches that they preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the time? And it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, those are the words of Jesus. Well, I want you to see in just a minute the words of Jesus, how it plays into that scenario. And I want you to understand, it ain't a joke to me. It ain't a ha, 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 ha. Ho, 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 ho. None of that. This stuff's serious stuff. You think I'm kidding you? Listen to me. I sat down with men. I can go with this Bible right now and I can teach this Bible for 5, 10, 15 hours straight and never cross another verse. And I can keep proving it to you over and over. You know what? I've studied this thing out for 30 years. And I guarantee you, you don't have to believe me, but you've got to believe God's Word. That's what you've got to do. In the book of Ruth. So he's exalted Israel above all the people, and they're going to become the kingdom of priests. That's their hope. Go to Ruth, the book of Ruth. You know, page 297 in your book of Ruth. It's right behind Judges. And I think it's right in front of 1 Samuel. Is that it? Yeah. It's in between Samuel and Judges. You got it? And let me tell you guys, you need to be writing notes. I mean, you're really good, but you can't go home and check me out and confirm it unless you're writing notes. So make sure you get a piece of paper and at least a scab of a pencil and etch it out. In Ruth, in chapter 1, you guys know the story. I'm not going to spend the time there, but Ruth is either a beer or a seer. That's all she can be. She can't be an heir, because only those born on Abraham are in the Abraham seed. Amen? Now, in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi had lost her husband, her two sons, and she's going back to Jerusalem. I might add, I might add in this passage that Oprah and Ruth are black. And just so that you might know, Ruth is in the direct lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a thought. The Lord wasn't black either. I go into black homes and there's black Jesuses on the wall. I'm like, oh, we are so messed up. You know what he was? He was a Middle Easterner. He wasn't white. He wasn't blue-eyed and blonde-haired. That's a deception of the devil. You've got imagery in your mind. And you know what? The imagination of your mind is only evil continually. It's not even true. Song of Solomon has a description of them, if you want to see it. I think it's in chapter 5. Song of Solomon. But anyway, here in Ruth, she's a Moabitess. She's black. Verse 14. And she's telling them, go back home. You know, I don't have any more husbands, on and on. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Oprah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave onto her. Why do you think Ruth claved? Absolutely the blessing. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. I know the next part. And unto her, see the little G? See the little gods there? Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And look what Ruth said. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She is definitely a blesser. You see how she got in the blessings of God? How? By blessing the Jew. I mean, wasn't that complicated? Pharaoh, a beer or a seer? A seer. What happened? God destroyed them. The Amalekites that came against them, what did God do for them? Destroyed them. They were seers. And it's like that all the way through. Now go to Matthew. Now this is a fascinating thing, because I've been to a lot of churches and I got to tell you, it makes me mad. Go to Matthew chapter 10. I know I'm running out of time. Quit looking at me like that. In Matthew chapter 10, watch this. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Are you writing notes? I see Gail writing notes. Peggy, you writing notes? And Joe Glenn? You got this? Verse 1. And when he had called on them his 12 disciples. Now, we've slid all the way into town, you know, and we talked about the beers and seers. And by the way, were there other beers and seers? How about that lying whore? Yeah. Rahab.
Amen.
What'd she do?
She blessed it.
Yeah, she did it by how?
Lying.
People say, you should never, ever lie. In her case, her lie is what saved her. It works with the IRS occasionally, too. Beers and seers, that's all there are. And heirs, you got it? That's it. And we come into when the Lord is, this is Matthew through John. We're in the New Testament. Here's the cross. We're in that period of time. Now, he had called on them as what? 12. How many tribes were there of Abraham? 12. How many prophetic months? How many thrones in the new city? How many gates? 12 is connected with who? All the time. Say that. 12 is connected with Israel all the time. And it doesn't matter how you feel. That's the way it is. And he said, watch this, verse 1. And when he had called on them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Verse 5. Now I'm not going to name them, but their names are there between 2 and 4. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the what? Well, that would be everybody down here. You got it? Whether they were Shemites, Japhonites, or Hamites. You got it? Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and any of the cities of the Samaritans enter ye not. And some of these had married some of these and mixed, and they were what? Samaritans. That's the way it was. Am I doing okay, Wayne? Peg? Gail? Tom, way in the back. Am I doing okay so far? I ain't messed up anything. Matthew 15. Checking on the new people because, listen, if they don't get it, there ain't no reason to even keep going. Amen? I mean, you might as well stop the sermon and get it fixed, whatever is broken. I want you to get it. Matthew 15. Guess what approaches the Lord the very first time? One of these. One of these three right here. Came to the Lord. He just said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Now one of these three are going to approach the Lord. I'm always amazed at this. Like somehow we are spiritual Israel all of a sudden. No, certainly not at this point. 15, look if you would in verse 22. Now I'm going to finish this up in the second half, so you do not want to miss this. This is a two-part, squeeze it down to 45-minute messages. This has never been done humanly. So this, if I accomplish this, will be a world challenge.
Amen.
All right, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Guess what kind of woman that is?
Gentile.
Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Did she know who she was speaking to?
Yes,
she did. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. You know what he does? The Bible says, but he answered her not a word. Kind of sound like that. I'd never heard that my whole life. I've been in the church all my life. Have you ever heard that, Peggy? Ever preached other than here by your charming friend? I'd never heard that. Had you ever heard that? No? Yeah, you had? You heard it? Praise the Lord. That's it. You know what? They don't believe it. Even his disciples, look at it. And his disciples came and besought her, say, send her away, for she crieth after us. What? I thought Jesus came for everybody. He says in verse 24, he answered and said, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Guess who that would include? That's what he came for.
A's only.
A's only. I never heard that my whole life. I've been in church all my life. I've never heard that. And they teach it as if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written to you. You got to be kidding me. Well, then you don't believe this Bible. Say, well, it all applies to me now. Okay, then sell out like Jesus told these people to do. Isn't that weird? See, I believe in doing what Jesus did. How many said that, heard that, or seen it said? They don't believe that. I'm going to show you in just a minute. Then she came and worshipped him, verse 25, saying, Lord, help me. And he lays it out to her. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. The children are who? Israel. The bread.
The word of God.
And cast it to the dogs. He said, it's not worthy of taking what was given to Abraham and cast it to these dogs down here. And she says, truth, Lord. Verse 27. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In Genesis chapter 12, God set it up that if you blessed Abraham, God Almighty owed you a blessing. Amen? That's how God did it. So she said, that's truth, Lord. I have blessed this seed. You owe me a blessing, not based upon anything else but this covenant. And God can't go back on His word.
She said, her master.
Well, let me, I'm going to get to that. Thank you, Wayne. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Who was this lady enslaved to?
Israel.
You know, we always talk about slavery because of the blacks in the United States. Amen? But in this case, had you been a slave to Israel, it would have blessed you. You got it?
Amen.
Wouldn't have been a bad thing to be a slave to Israel, because if you blessed Israel, God then, according to that covenant of Genesis chapter 12, owed you a blessing. Nothing changed. A Gentile couldn't go into the sacrifice and offer a sacrifice. A Gentile couldn't go in and offer those things that a Jew could offer. If a Gentile went into that temple, it would defile the temple. Do you all understand? This lady couldn't get to the temple. And it's amazing in John. Go to John 14. I love John 14. Nobody really understands it, but it's kind of humors me. I heard it a lot last night, but John 14. This is amazing to me. That's amazing to me. John 14, verse 6. Watch this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. That Syrophoenician woman couldn't go straight to Jesus. Who did she have to bless? She had to bless Abraham. You got it? John 14, verse 6 would not apply to any Gentile in this room. Why? If you were in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that was the current doctrine for the day, the only way you could get to God is by blessing a Jew. You couldn't go to the Father through Jesus. You didn't have the right. You didn't have the right. How many's heard John 3:16 is the gospel? Raise your hand. You heard that? John 3? I'm amazed that they don't read John 4. It comes after John 3, right? Look at John 4, verse 22. The Samaritan woman at the well. Verse 22. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship. Everybody read with me. For salvation is of the Jews. I've never heard that preached in any Gentile church I've been in that reads John 14. Isn't that weird it said that? Salvation of the Jews. You know why? Because the only way a Gentile could get saved is through the who? That's the darndest thing. Never heard that. How come they're not teaching that? That's weird, isn't it? You want to rightly divide yet? and stuff. I want you to turn to your Bible in Luke chapter 7. Now, I gave you one example. Do you realize that in this Bible that there are only three examples in your New Testament of Gentiles? Now, that may freak you out, but that's all there is. During the break, William came up and said, what about Jewish proselytes? Well, if they are Jewish proselytes, they have become what? Jews. They've taken circumcision and they're under the law. And on and on. So they're not really Gentiles anymore. And strangers could do that. Slaves could do that. And on and on. But circumcision was a sign. Now, I don't know why God chose that. I mean, how do you get in the club? I don't know. But circumcision is the way God did it. It's a little explained in Romans chapter 2. But so we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not a book that is written to the Gentiles. None of it. There isn't really anything you do. Say, well, can't you get something out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Yes, you can say, I read it and it's written to Jews. You got it? You can say that. That's okay. But what you can't say is it's written to me. I heard somebody say, well, I believe in doing everything Jesus said. Well, probably not. Turn, if you will, to Matthew. Well, go to Luke. I'm going to Luke anyway. Go to Luke chapter 12. I can do it there just as easy. There are parallels. And by the way, you know, the four Gospels, Luke isn't one of the Jews. You all know that Luke is a Gentile. And he wrote one of the Gospels. Just thought that was interesting. Maybe I'll preach on that one day, but, you know, it's not that important, but it's interesting. So what is he doing writing the Gospel? He wasn't even around in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So how did he get this information? Huh? Through the Holy Ghost, through revelation of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't even around. He wrote as God told him to write. But in Luke chapter 12, look in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. And I haven't found anybody willing to do this. Now, I've heard all kinds of excuses. Now, I've heard it all. I mean, you know, I'm 52 and I may not live to 82, but I've heard garbage. And most of what people believe is garbage. That's all I know, because I believed it too. When you start reading this Bible and you start being a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God, don't let me stop you. You believe the book. Amen? Don't you? Hey, don't believe Barry. Believe the book. And Barry's going to point out some things you've got to deal with. In Luke chapter 12, verse 33, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, nor moth corrupt. Anybody here have money in the bank? I know it's a little bit. It ain't a huge sum. How many of your own houses? Well, it says sell that you have. And you know what's fascinating? People, I've heard this preach. How many has heard this preach at one time or another? And they said, what it is it's in your heart. You know, just sell out in your heart. How many's heard that? I've heard that 100 times if I heard it once. It did not say that. And just making up words that God never said. God never said, do it in your heart. He says, sell that you have. And it's fascinating to me that these people did just that. Look in Acts chapter 2. Say, well, the church started in Acts chapter 2. Well, let's see what the church did in Acts chapter 2. I don't believe the church started in Acts chapter 2. But if you did, you'd have to deal with this. Acts chapter 2. Y'all there? Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Everybody help me read this. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and good, and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know a single church doing that? No, they're a bunch of liars. We're liars. They tell us to sell out, but only in our hearts. You know, just, well, how do you do that? Look what happened in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, this is what the Bible said. This is, you don't have to get mad at me. I didn't write it. But you do have to believe it. Amen? In Acts 4, look if you will in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I've never seen that. I've been in a lot of prayer revivals and never one place shaken. Well, in California one time, but I think it was an earthquake. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitudes of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that the aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Well, I know Peggy has a Jaguar and a Cadillac. I only have a Jaguar. I want a Cadillac too. I think we all have all things common, don't you? And I know Larry has a Harley. I don't have a Harley. Yeah, you're right. I probably won the Indian. The Harley is always broken. I mean, it leaks oil like you won't believe. Just, you know that sound of a Harley? It's the oil shooting out of the tailpipe. I finally figured it out. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Everybody read with me. Verse 34, middle part. For as many, I don't hear you. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses. How come we don't do that? Wayne, do you do that? I mean, they teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like it's going out of style, but they don't tell you to sell out. These people that heard the Lord believed that they were to literally sell out. That's weird, isn't it? How come? Well, we just pick and choose what we believe. No. Go back. Remember that Gentile thing that we were talking about earlier? Blessing and cursing, blessing and cursing. Go to Luke chapter 7. And let me show you that. The second example of a Gentile person. I showed you the Samaritan in Genesis, in John 4, right? And he told him what? To the Samaritan? You know not what you worship. We know what we worship. Salvation is? I don't ever hear that being preached out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Where did I tell you? Luke 7? That's good. I'll take that. Luke 7, verse 1. Luke 7, verse 1. Now watch this. Now when they had ended all the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, guess what that is? As a Gentile, was dear on him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent on him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Why didn't he go himself? John 14, verse 6 doesn't fit Gentiles. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me, except if you're a Gentile, you have to go through a Jew. You have to have an agent to get to God. That agent is the Abraham, it's the Jew. You got it? Every Gentile, par none, had to go through Israel to get to God. There was not one example that you can show me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where they didn't have to bless the seed of Abraham. Not one. This guy wasn't worthy. Look what happens. Verse 4. And when they'd come to Jesus, they besought him saying, now everybody repeat with me, that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Verse 5, for he loveth our nation and he hath built us a what? What was the blessing that this Luke, this centurion servant did? He built the synagogue for who? Abraham. Therefore, God owed him a blessing based upon the covenant of Genesis chapter 12. Nothing changed. People think it changed. When Jesus came to the earth, nothing changed. He healed a man. It is fascinating. He heals a man in, I think it's John 9, and he tells him to go offer a blood sacrifice that Moses required. I've never heard that preached, okay, now you've been healed. I hear, oh, God healed me. Oh, great, go to the temple and offer a blood sacrifice. Wow. Pictures are worth 1,000 words, aren't they? You got it? This isn't a joke, boys and girls. This isn't a plaything. People are in churches today listening to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as if somehow the gospel's there. Not for you. That or the good news would be go find a Jew and bless them. One last one in your New Testament that I want to talk about is in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 10. See how we've gone all the way through the Bible? There's no mistake here. There's no mistake. Trust me. In Acts chapter 10, I want you to read with me in verse 1. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now, we do responsive reading, but you're going to have to get better at that because you guys were a little bit sluggish. Got a little bit better the last time I coached you a little bit. So, you know, when I ask you to read, read. You at home, read. Underline. Get it in your brain. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Peter comes to Cornelius' aid. Look what happens. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. They played, you know, polkas and things like that. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the what? Did Cornelius bless Israel? Now, we're after the cross, boys and girls. You got it? He's down here and he's blessing. You with me? I mean, this is the way it is. There isn't, oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved stuff. No, 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 no. That isn't how the Bible worked. No, 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 no. Say, well, I've heard it the other way my whole life. Then you've heard it wrong. Time to straighten it out, amen? I mean, there's one thing about being poor. That's bad, isn't it? You know what's worse than being poor? Poor and ignorant. Amen? Time to quit being that. Time to grow up and be men and women, amen? Stand for the Word of God rightly divided. I'll show you why in just a second. In Acts chapter 10, angel of the Lord comes down and look what came up. He didn't say, well, you believe on my son Jesus Christ, I'll bless you. That's not what happened. No, no, no. Verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He's talking about the angel. He looked like the angel of the Lord. He said, Lord. And he said unto me, and he said unto him, that is, the angel said unto Cornelius, everybody read with me, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. What was it? Did he believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he do? He prayed and gave money to what? I never heard that my whole life. I've been to church my whole life. How about you? I never heard that. I'm telling you, I went to church from when I was a wee little boy until I was 15, 16, and I never heard it one time that Cornelius, not one time, had blessed the nation of Israel by giving alms, and that's why God dealt with them. I never heard that. Satan's good, ain't he? Hidden from my eyes. Well, I believe that my whole life. Well, hey, come on, you did not. Someone showed it to you if you got it. Weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? Peggy, that is weird, isn't it? That's strange. And you know what he tells them to do to get saved? Tell me if this is what God told you. Look in verse 34. Then Peter starts to preach to him. Watch this. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person." Everybody read with me. "But in every nation, he that feareth him," feareth who? Feareth God. Hang on. Fear God. And worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't do works of righteousness? Amen. That's true, isn't it? That's what that Bible said. Amen. You know where he got that from? Look in Deuteronomy 6. This isn't anything new. Deuteronomy 6. Where do you think they got this from? Deuteronomy 6. This isn't anything new, guys. People go, "This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John." Yeah. Well, then you don't believe your Bible. Because back in Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, don't you like flipping the Bible a little bit? It's better than a poke in the eye, amen? Well, it's definitely better than two pokes in the eyes for sure. But I've got a defense against two pokes in the eye. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, this is what the Bible says. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes," the Ten Commandments, "to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day, and it shall be our righteousness if we do all these commandments before the Lord." What is that? Fear God and what? Fear God and work righteousness. Peter's quoting Deuteronomy 6. He didn't give Cornelius anything new. You say, "Well, Jesus already died." Well, he didn't tell him about the death. Come on, guys. He didn't tell him about the death. And weird, people walk around, "Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." Like it's okay. It's not okay. There's no death. There's no blood. I heard the blood all over the stage last night. Blood, blood. There ain't any blood in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if there is, it's the blood of animals being offered on sacrifices, is it. And when they finally kill him, he tells them that he's going to die. Look at Matthew 16. He tells him he's going to die. In Matthew 16, look at this. Turn quickly. We're going to run out of time. And I hate to run you late, but I will. Until I get hungry, and then we'll quit. Matthew, did I tell you 16? Matthew 16. Verse 21. He tells them. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. You know what he's preaching? The death, burial, and resurrection. You got it? The DBR. Everybody say DBR.
DBR.
Death, burial, and resurrection. You know what he preaches in Acts chapter 2? DBR. So these 12 men are going along. They lose one. They pick up another one, which is Matthias. And then in Acts chapter 9, God saves another man. And that's fascinating to me. Isn't that fascinating to you? Gail, that is fascinating to you, isn't it? Why Paul? I mean, they had 12 men. They'd already saved 3,000. They already had 5,000 saved. That's 8,000 men. They should be on the program. Amen? But God chose a man that is very, very unique. He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew, a Pharisee of a Pharisee, as touching the law blameless. But do you realize that Paul couldn't get saved according to the doctrine here? Paul could not have been saved. Even though he could have repented and done all that, he could not have ever been saved. You know why? Huh? Blaspheme? Yes, he did. Look in Matthew chapter 12. Just back up a few books here. Paul was the only person in the Bible that could not get saved. He couldn't keep the law. He couldn't keep the commandments. He was of the seed of Abraham, but he couldn't get saved. And why is Matthew chapter 12, verse 31? Aren't you glad you have me as a Bible teacher this morning? Huh? Oh, that was pitiful. The people are shouting on the internet louder than you are.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Oh, like you make it up for it now. That's like saying I'm sorry after you've already slapped me around three times. I love you. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you could have showed that earlier. Verse 31. Another parable, Matthew 12. Am I there? Oh, I'm in 13. I'm sorry. I'm like, that doesn't look right. 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So if you ever blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, done. And whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he that speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Woo! Well, in Acts chapter 7, guess what Paul was doing? He denied and denounced Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost, speaking out and denounced him, and therefore he cannot be forgiven in this world nor in that to come. He's done. Done. You got it? He's done. That's why he makes this announcement. Go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy. Oh, I love this book, don't you? There ain't anything I'd rather do than sit around and preach this book. It ain't no joke to me. This is a serious deal here. We started this work 25 years ago, thereabouts. You know what? I'm going to keep preaching until the Lord calls me home or I can't walk or talk. Tried to kill me with congested heart failure and then he tried to take my teeth out. Listen, let me tell you what. I found that they can put those artificial ones back in pretty good. Amen. Try it again, devil. He just never quits, you know. He never sleeps. Amen? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer. Whew. Well, you know what that said. You ought to put in your Bible Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 right there. Get your Bible pen out. Hey, listen, you're smart. I know you are. I can see brilliant people out there. But you're not that smart, so write it down. You'll want it down. Who was before a blasphemer? Well, who was he blaspheming? Stephen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, so I'd put that out beside my Bible right there. And I'd put Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32 as a reference to tell you that he couldn't be forgiven. Amen? Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am. What made him the chief sinner?
Because he couldn't be forgiven.
He could not be forgiven in this world nor in that one to come. So there had to be something uniquely different. Paul just couldn't all of a sudden get in the program and make it happen as most of the churches today are teaching. Like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you just join in the program and you're part of it all. He couldn't do that. Paul was the chiefest of sinner and had no hope. And so God, on the road to Damascus, here's 7's over here, 9's here. This is the timeline, Gentiles. There's still beers and seers. And he gets a mystery. Go to Romans 16. Go to Romans 16. Oh, I hope you get this. I hope you see this. I'm praying for you to see this. I'm praying for you to understand that there is a difference. I mean, come on, boys and girls. This isn't playing church. This is getting this book down. Amen. There's other churches playing church, and I don't want to play church. I want you to get the book down. That's all I care about. In Matthew, where did I tell you? Romans, that's what I want. That's why that looked funny to me. Romans, go to Romans 16. Look, if you will, in verse 25. Watch this. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, everybody read with me, which was kept secret since the what? Well, okay, let's play this game. It was kept secret, right? Hello?
Yes.
They can't hear you on the internet doing this. You have to shout out. Say yes.
Yes.
That's better. It was kept secret since the world began. Well, here's the beginning of the world right here. And it was kept secret since then. Did they teach it in the Old Testament?
No.
Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Did they teach it in the first part of the book of Acts?
No.
No, not until Acts chapter 9. Minimal. Now watch this. Hang on. Very, very important. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Hold on to here. I'm turning right back. Go to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Did he get after the 12?
No.
For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Everybody read with me. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That couldn't have happened before Acts chapter 9. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, what is he doing?
Making havoc
of the church. It couldn't happen then. Minimum is Acts chapter 9. Now, I went to church all my life. You know what they taught me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? How many went to a church that taught them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Amen.
When I started out, that's all they knew, man. They just preached it, and they had no clue. A couple things I want you to think about. That verse in John 14, they think they're going to heaven on pearly gates and streets of gold. Mansions, you know. Not a single person, listen to me very carefully, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are going to heaven. Does that freak you out? Not one person. Hey, what do you think about that? Not one single person. Listen to me. Not one single person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is ever going to heaven. Ever. Ever. They're going into a kingdom set up here on earth. Guess who the land was given to? Huh? Who was the land given to? Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant about a land. Where is he going to set up the kingdom? On the land. You got it? That's what's going to happen. They're going to be resurrected, Ezekiel 37, to go into the
kingdom.
The land. And on and on. You, did you ever notice the story of of Lazarus. Come forth, Lazarus. And Lazarus comes out. They unwrap his thing. He didn't go like this. Ah! And realize he wasn't in heaven. He was planning to be resurrected on the earth. No shock to him. It was promised in Ezekiel 37, those dead bones shall gather and they'll... Come on, guys. Don't you read your Bible? There ain't anybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John going to heaven. Not one. They're going into a kingdom on earth. Promised by God the Father. Oh, I just like following Jesus' words. Then pluck out your eyes. Sell out all that you have. I mean, come on. Baloney. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, but by revelation of Jesus Christ, couldn't have been before Acts chapter 9. Go back to Romans 16. Watch this. Oh, you better get this. Listen, let me tell you what. This will change your life, won't it, Miss Jean? Listen, Miss Jean thought she was saved. Been going to church all her life. Amen?
Amen.
Miss Jean got saved. Mac, you've been going to church all your life. Amen. Started hearing the truth. Realized that the gospel was. I'm going to give you the gospel here in the end. Let me tell you what, boys and girls. There's churches that are playing churches that have no clue what's in this book. I was sitting at jury duty. This is a fact. This is a fact. This isn't something I beefed up. I didn't know what else to do, so I carried my Bible to jury duty so I could read. And the black guy that was there when my son died, boy, he was a big black guy, about Wayne's size. He just hugged me at that thing, swallowed me up, scared me to death. I'm like, well, who are you? He said, you don't remember me. I was there the night your son died, and I said, I do remember you. I said, I thank you for your comfort. Yeah, I've been watching your program. He said, can we have a Bible study? I said, yeah, amen. So the next day we all got our thing. Of course, I was never picked for any jury. You want to get out of jury duty? Carry your Bible and have Bible class. One of the guys in the biggest churches in Montgomery. Now, you listen to me. I was teaching on baptism, and I had already taught that there were seven baptisms. I was going through them as I taught on them, and I'm laying them out, just laying them out. And someone saw him and said, well, why don't you come and sit in for our Bible study? And so one of them asked him and said, well, preacher, how many baptisms do you think there are? And he said, two. He said, no, that's incorrect, not according to this Bible. That big black guy says, I want you to know we've already learned seven. He says there's five more. So I taught all those things out, and that man's countenance changed as we sat there and talked. Because he had no clue what was in this book. That big black man came up to me afterwards and says, how'd you learn all this? Well, I didn't get it at seminary. Don't go there, you probably won't get it. An old man taught me this, and I've been studying it for 25 years. But what I'm about to show you can literally right now change your life. Are you listening to me? What I'm about to tell you right now can literally change your life. In Romans 16:25, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, whose gospel? Paul's. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, have made known to all nations, including these down here. Got it? Here it's always been to these people, right? Now it's to what? That's important. You know why Paul is the apostle of the? That's right. Now look in 1 Corinthians. Why would God have kept it all a mystery? See, you can't get the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't get the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. I really like that place I'm going back, but hey, you've never been there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is why you need to get this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, Satan and his angels. But we speak the wisdom of God in a... that's Romans 16:25. I definitely write that in my Bible right there. You're going to miss it. Write it in. I'll give you a chance. Get your Bible pen out. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. We know we're talking about the same deal, right? Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the what? The mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Whatever Paul got right here, the gospel, he calls it what? My gospel. That gospel, he got direct revelation of the Lord. Had they known it back here, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You got it? They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, at this point, has anybody had any problem seeing this? A's, B's, and C's, right? Then we get Paul, who's a blasphemer, can't be forgiven in this world or that. And so he's a perfect example to bring in this new thing. God has kept a what? A mystery, a secret. For had they known this back here, they would not have what? Let's try it again. Verse 8. Everybody read with me. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Y'all are reading like. Let's try it again. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You got it? So, Paul's got something that's amazing. What is it that Paul's got? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Acts 9, verse 15 and 16. Amen. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again. Paul got a secret. It was the DBR, plus he got the message of the S factor. What is the S factor? That Christ died for everybody's sin. He became sin for us, who knew no sin. For had they known that fact back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. So God kept it a secret. Are you listening to me? God didn't open His mouth and tell anybody until He chose a perfect man, Paul, that couldn't be saved any other way than by His infinite wisdom and grace. And He reached down and saved the chief of sinners, the blasphemer of blasphemer, to share His grace to all mankind. How can you be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe that He died for your sins. Say, well, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah, so did Peter, but he didn't have his sins forgiven. Peter's sins are not forgiven. Oh, yes, Peter's sins are not forgiven. Isn't that weird? And Peter ain't going to meet you at the pearly gates. I hate to tell you that. Yikes, that's some weird news. Gail's going, it can't be. Look at this. It is. Go to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Watch this. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. A lot of people are. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. All that of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John blinded them. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's the church. And so, all Israel shall be saved. You notice that Paul said, you are saved? What did it say about Israel?
Shall be.
Is that the same?
No.
They're going to be saved at the second coming. I would put in my Bible Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and Zechariah 13, verse 1. And so all Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out a Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Their sins aren't taken away now, but bless God, because of the grace of God and the message given to the Apostle Paul, your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been paid for. It's gone. Sin in the issue. People say, well, what do I do to get saved? Well, you don't have to come down and blow snot at an old-fashioned altar. Number one. Number two, you don't have to walk where, anywhere, or go anywhere. You don't have to say a prayer. In fact, if you said a prayer, I would still think you're lost. If you said the sinner's prayer and you believe that saved you, I believe you're lost. Because it said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of your prayers. It's the gift of God. What did He do? Well, bless God, He offered His precious and beloved Son for you. He sent His Son to Calvary to become sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Amen.
Verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them who, when I shall take away their sins. Wow. You know what the mystery is? He already took your sins away. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know what didn't wash it? Whether you confessed them. What didn't wash them was you saying some sinner's prayer. What washed them was the act of God being merciful to you. He made His Son to be sin for you. And that was a mystery. And it was never taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not one time. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And listen, guys, let me tell you what. There aren't churches out there by the leaps and bounds preaching this mystery. Honestly, how many been in other churches? Honestly, you ever hear this much? You don't hear this. I've been in hundreds of churches and I've never heard the mystery preached. And without that mystery, there isn't a person in this room that could have gotten saved. You can stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until hell freezes over and you'll end up in hell. The gospel didn't even come to you until it came to and through the Apostle Paul. What makes this church unique? I do think it's unique. I think it's different than all the other churches. I've been in other churches. You know what they do in other churches? I mean, honestly. They preach you one little verse and they tell a sad story. It gets you all kind of emotional. You don't believe me? I was preaching the Free Will Baptist Church when we first started. Amen, Doris? One day I got up to the pulpit and there's a book of sad stories. It's called the Book of Sad Stories. And just read them to your congregation. And I read one. And I mean, I got choked up reading it. Remember that? Do you remember that? We were all like...
tie a yellow ribbon around.
It wasn't about the yellow ribbon. But he had about five or six stories in there. Just sad stories to stir your emotions up. Heard last night a guy talking about wanting to give glory to the Jesus while he was singing. And not one time did he mention that Christ died for your sins. I got great news for you. God made His Son to be sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. First thing I got in, Carlton says, well, you couldn't have gotten saved by anything that man said last night. What a waste of time. There are people hearing all kinds of Bible that's not getting saved. Yeah, I know. I went to church my whole life. I was a lost believer. I believed in Jesus Christ. There wasn't any doubt in my mind I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed He died. But on the 24th of August, 1983, 27 years ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior almost to the day here. And I chucked all the religion I had. You know, Paul counted it, but done. He was very religious too. Went to church every Sabbath, never missed. You know what he was? Lost! Lost! Doris's first husband, Archie, been in the Grace Movement 35 years, heard great men of God preach. One all of a sudden got up. That I've been faking it all these years. I'm lost! You can have all the religion in the world, but you know what? If you don't have Jesus Christ and the message of Paul, you know what you are? Lost! And you're going to a hell that will burn for all eternity. And when you get out of hell, He is going to throw you into the lake of fire. And as He reaches down and grabs you into the lake of fire and throws you in there, we'll all say, praise the Lord, amen. And it's going to be your mom and then daddies, and it's going to be your aunts and your uncles and your brothers and your sisters and your friends, because they've been religious their whole life. But lost! Lost! Wayne came to me, religious as he could be, been to church ever since he was a pup. He was probably never a pup. He was a full-grown dog when he came out. I know that. But he came to me, and he's telling me about all these religious experiences. Man, the man spoke in tongues. He'd done it all. You know, I said, brother, you know what your problem is? You're lost. And on that drive home, he was sitting there, never heard anything like this, went driving home, and got lost himself and trusted the Lord. Gene telling me, oh, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian all my life, boy, go to Christian church, Christian church, Christian church. She comes in here, guess what? We found out she was lost. When was there a day that you could stand up here and you could testify, listen to me, it's coming. He's got it. When you could stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I know that this day I trusted the gospel that Paul got on the road to Damascus. I trusted the fact that Christ died for my sins. When was there a day in your life that you could testify of that? I've had people, you can ask Larry, stand up and they testify how God had helped them through this struggle or that struggle. No, no, no. We're not talking about that. When was there a time that you saw yourself lost and you trusted Christ? You say, well, I sang in the quartet. Guess what? You could be lost. I had a guy one time preach. Preach pretty well. Preach right division. Preach the truth. You know what the problem was, though? He was lost. Had a man, a black guy that came to preach, Bobby Harris. And he started hearing me, and he stood in the pulpit, and he was at this big revival of this black church, and just filled with hundreds of people. And all of a sudden, behind the pulpit, he gets saved. How about that? I called you up here, and I said, okay, you stand up here and give the testimony of your salvation. You know what? If you lied, some of us might even believe it. But here's the thing I want you to know. God knows. You might fool me, but God knows. Right now you're sitting there lost if your hands are a little bit sweaty and your heart's racing just a little bit. And you're thinking, man, I'm not sure. When was there a time in your life that you knew you were lost and you trusted Christ? And if that's not been, then guess what? You're lost. And right now could be the difference between your salvation. What's the gospel? The gospel was given to the Apostle Paul, who was the chief of what? Why?
Blasphemer.
He's a blasphemer. And what was it? That Christ died for all of your what?
Sins.
How many sins do you have anymore?
None.
Because you're good? Because you confessed them?
No.
Because you went home and repented of them?
No.
Because God made His Son to be sin for you. And that's why. See, guys, that's the greatest news there ever is. Now, you got to ask yourself, why are the churches staying in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They're just confused. Because if they ever really got a hold of this, they'd be in Romans through Philemon. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm done.